If you would, please, while you're standing, we'll turn to Ephesians chapter number 6. Well, according to the posters, this is the last Sunday before Judgment Day. And I guess we're going to have rain and get judged all week long. I do want to say a word about that tonight. I hope you'll make sure and come back during the pastor's heart at 6 o'clock. I want to give you a Bible answer to the May 21st Judgment Day. And I want to help you with that. And so I want to urge you, don't miss tonight at 6 o'clock. I don't know if you know this, but this is a worldwide thing. They are broadcasting all of this worldwide. They're putting a lot of money into that. And I want to address that. I think it's important for you to know as a church. And so I urge you to come back and be here at 6 o'clock tonight for that. And then we'll have our evening service at 6:30. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for what it means. Father, I pray today that you would help us to learn the lesson from this passage you'd have us to learn. Lord, may you guide us in the moments that we have in the remaining part of this service, and we'll be careful to give you the praise we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated.
That come to me from above, if I count all the blessings from the storehouse of love, I simply ask for a favor of him beyond mortal king, and I'm sure he would grant it again. I want to stroll over heaven with you. So many places of beauty we long to see here below, but time and treasures have kept us from making plans, as you know. But come the morning of the rapture, together we'll stand anew as I stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you.
Amen. You know, Christians face a strong temptation the longer you're saved. Either number one, the temptation is this, that as time passes, we quit serving the Lord. we just quit serving the Lord. Or number two is we find ourselves only halfway serving the Lord. Somehow or another, we get the idea that, I guess, when you're first saved, you need to be busy about serving the Lord, but then after a while, let other people do it. Let other people serve. Let other people do all those things. Now, I want to remind you of this, that we're to serve Jesus until He comes. A godly servant understands that. And in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit these words, and these words are being written to a group of Christians, believers, who in the ancient world, they had masters and servants. We don't have that today. We don't believe in that. But they did in the ancient world. And so this would be in connection to employer-employee relationships. That's what we would connect it to today. That's what we would understand in modern day. And Paul was writing, he was saying, as believers in Christ, that we are to serve or be a good employee or do right as an employee, an employer in our relationship. But I want to kind of take it out of that arena, and I want to put it into our relationship with God and how we serve the Lord. You see, the truth of the matter is, when our heart is right with God, we are going to want to serve the Lord. I mean, that's what we want to do. That's just what we naturally are going to want to do. And so we find ourselves in this passage that God tells us how we're to serve the Lord. Maybe some of you might have come here today and said, well, you know, Pastor, I think I'm serving the Lord. I really want to, and I know that's my heart's desire, and I want to serve the Lord, and yet, if I'm going to serve the Lord, then how am I to do that? And that's what the message is about this morning. It is the heart of a godly servant. What kind of heart do you have? You can always tell when someone has a heart for something, can't you? You can tell when, for example, you can tell when like basketball players, and we're watching the NBA finals as we're coming into the end of the season, you're watching the playoff games, you can always tell if they really have a heart to want to win. You can tell. They kind of, you know, they put a little extra effort in, and maybe they, you know, they might even kind of put their you know, their health at risk. They want to do everything they can to, because their heart is in it. You can always tell when someone's heart is in something. You can always tell when a Christian's heart is in serving the Lord. And so Paul talks about that in this passage. And I want to give you three ways, or three descriptions, if you would. You might look at it from that viewpoint. Three descriptions of those whose heart is to serve the Lord. So we can understand how. How am I to serve the Lord? By the way, just to remind you and help you understand, this message spoke to my heart this week. In fact, I hope every message speaks to my heart. If it doesn't speak to my heart, we're all in trouble, amen? But I pray that God will speak to your heart this morning, that you'll understand if we're going to serve the Lord, and we talk about service, if we're going to serve the Lord, we need to have a heart for God. And what kind of heart is God talking about? Number one, there needs to be a heart of purpose. In your notes there, you might want to write that in. In verse number 5, he talks about that kind of heart. He says that there is a spirit of purpose. Notice in verse number 5, Ephesians 6, verse 5, he says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. In other words, there needs to be a respect in what I do for God. I need to respect the work of God. The idea in fear and trembling is to give honor to what I do for the Lord. I never think of doing something for God as being that which I have to do. It's something that I'm giving the opportunity to do. So there's an attitude that Paul talks about. It's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the Bible says. In other words, that serving God means that we are serious about our service. We're serious about working the nursery. We're serious about working the bus ministry. We're serious about teaching our class or singing or whatever it is. We're serious. Now we may not be, quote, as good as somebody else, but we're not to compare ourselves to somebody else. We're just to serve the Lord where God has placed us. And it's to be serious about that business, you know, being on time and doing what God wants us to do. That's what he's talking about here. He says we are to be serious. In fact, God admonishes the deacons that the deacons are to be grave. The idea of being serious about being a deacon. In other words, it's not just a position. It is something that is serious about serving. The word deacon means to serve. So I'm serious about what I do. And so God says there should be a spirit about that. A spirit, an attitude of one of humility, and always to bring honor to God and never to ourselves. But notice, second of all, there's a singleness of purpose. Not with eye service, he says in verse 5. Not with eye service as men pleasers, verse 6. But go back to verse 5. He says, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. You see, a divided heart dishonors the Lord. Those who have a divided heart are those who would dishonor the Lord. A single purpose means that I'm not double-minded. In fact, James says it like this: a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Paul shows us a singleness of purpose. And when he says in Philippians chapter 3, here's what he says. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. What's he talking about? He serves Christ. It's one thing. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't go to work or go to school or take other responsibilities on that we have to on a day-to-day basis or whatever. But it just means this, that in everything that I do, my life and what I'm doing when I'm out in the community or when I go to work or when I go to school or when I go to church, that my purpose is that I might serve Christ. I want to honor Christ with my life. I think every one of us in here, when we go in this community, we ought to honor the Lord Jesus Christ with our lives. That's our purpose. That's what it means. A singleness of purpose. You see, I look at it this way. When you go to work, your work is an opportunity for you to show a service to Jesus Christ. A servant is one who realizes his purpose is to serve the Savior wherever we go. You see, our problem sometimes is we get a little bit confused. We confuse it with, we think of it like this, well, this is my world or my secular work and this is my church work and you know, I kind of plug in over here when I do this and I plug in over here. No, there should be no difference. Every one of us should live our life to please God, whether at work or at church or at school or whatever, because that's what he's teaching us here. It's a life of purpose, a heart of purpose, the same heart that Daniel spoke of. Daniel chapter 1, where the Bible says that Daniel said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. In other words, Daniel said, look, I'm here. I'm purposing in my heart. That's my job. That's what I want. I want a heart of purpose. And Paul says that if you're going to serve Jesus Christ, you need to have, number one, a heart of purpose. What is your purpose for serving? What about you? Do you serve Christ? I mean, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for some people who have a purpose that keeps them going. You see, it's easy for us to do it for somebody else, but when we do it for somebody else, we're going to quit. When we do it for God, we are going to stay by the stuff. I learned a long time ago, it's hard to be faithful. It's easy to start something. In fact, I was thinking the other day how easy it is to start. You know, we all good at starting things. Well, we're going to start a diet, or we're going to start a workout, or we're going to start this project, or we're going to start this building in the back. We're going to start this paint this room, or we're going to start whatever project it is. And probably all of us have unfinished projects around, but it's The guy that's faithful will finish the project. And when you serve God, you want to finish the race for Jesus Christ. So heart of purpose. Number two, you can write down the next one. There's a heart of devotion. God speaks of the fact that there's a heart of devotion. And so there is an aim of service, verse number six. God says, he says we don't do it as men pleasers. We are not to serve others because they're watching us. We're not to serve that. We are to serve to please God, not man. You know, DZ, you guys, I'm sure you've seen people that, you know, that kind of like when the boss is around, they're busy working and, you know, they want to look really good. When the boss disappears, they stop working. God says it's not to be the case. That we're ought to be busy about doing things because our work, whether it's at a secular job that we have or whatever the case is, our work should be that which we are serving the Lord at the work. When we're at church, we ought to serve the Lord at the church. The target is that we're serving God, as he says, from the heart. Now, the best way I can illustrate this is with children. Children give us great illustrations, don't they? And then when we get a little older and they become teenagers, we give them a lot of good illustrations, okay? But children give us a lot of illustrations. For example, my mom and dad, one of the things that we were taught growing up that my mom and dad emphasized in our life was, please excuse me, no thank you. Now, we didn't have the sir attached to it or yes ma'am or whatever, but we were taught those things because that was important. So if someone offers you something, it's thank you. If someone said, would you like to have something, you say no thank you, especially if it's like Brussels sprouts and, you know, those kind of things. You just said no thank you. You know, it wasn't nah, you know. And so my mom and dad emphasized that. And sometimes we struggled with the thank you. Or sometimes we struggled with no thank you. Or sometimes we struggled with please. And sometimes it would be like, mom would say it a little louder. Please. You know, we struggled with that. But the point is that we were taught that you were to say no thank you. Or you were to say thank you. Or you were to say please. Now in time, guess what happened? It became natural. Someone give me something? Thank you. I struggle when I go to restaurants today because I don't think children are being raised that way. Don't you hate it whenever you go to a restaurant and someone, you know, you just pay them big money for whatever that meal is and they just kind of throw it back at you. The other day, we were traveling this week at Nathan's graduation, a couple places, you know, they kind of give you the thing. They said, give your change back like that. And you're like, excuse me, I just kind of helped you with your salary here. Thank you is in order. That's how I was raised. But the point is this. When we learn something, it ought to be that which comes from the heart. Now we have Thanksgiving service around here, and we'll do that in the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and we kind of have that time where we set aside where we honor God. We want to give thanks to God for all those things. And it's not hard for me. It would have been hard for me had I not learned gratitude when I was a little boy. But let me tell you this. Here's the idea as a Christian. We learn to serve God from the heart when we first learn in the beginning that as God teaches us how to serve, then we go from serving as duty to serving from the heart. How am I doing? You getting it? You know, it might be that, for example, if you just get saved and you learn that you're giving, you ought to tithe into the Lord, you might say, man, that's tough. But we learned that in time, as we've learned that by duty, that I'm going to give my tithe unto God, and I had to learn that as well, that now I do it from my heart. It's not hard for me to do that. I don't think anything about it. Just naturally I do it because I know that I'm doing that from my heart because I love the Lord. When I first got saved and went out and told people about Christ, you know, I want to go tell people about Christ, but it was tough for me to do that. Then I started doing it. Now I do it from my heart. That's the whole idea. Paul says, look, for a Christian then, the aim of service is that we're to have a heart of devotion, because we're going to want to do everything that we do from the heart. I like it when people sing, and I think, was it last week, we had some people get up here and sing, and they were crying as they were singing, you know, and people said, man, isn't that sweet? That sure is. You know what? That tells me they're singing from their heart. Look, when you serve from your heart, when you serve God from your heart, it makes all the difference in the world. There's something that God is saying that we need to learn. And so doing what we do, it's not something we're doing mechanical or because we're made to do it or because, you know, we just my mom and dad think it's a good idea or someone wants me to do that or I want to make preacher happy. No, we serve God from our heart. That's the goal of every Baptist preacher, that he wants his people to do that. Every Bible teacher, every Christian leader, they're trying to get us to understand that as we serve God from the heart, that's what it's all about. You see, the will of God is not a concept, it's not a duty, it's that which we do because we love Him. It's from the heart. And let me tell you where it starts. It starts the moment we receive Jesus Christ as Savior. That's where it starts. That's the starting place. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, listen to what the Bible says. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. In other words, the starting place for me to say, hey, if I'm going to serve God from the heart, doing the will of God from the heart, the will of God is number one, is that everybody be saved. God wants all of man to come unto Him. And I want to explain what that means. That means that we realize we're sinners and that we can't go to heaven because we're good people or because we're Baptist or Catholic or whatever, because that doesn't take you to heaven. We're saved because we put our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And by trusting Him, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So I trust Christ as Savior. I put my faith and trust in Him. And that's what the Bible said. That's the aim of service. And then you can write this down. The object of service is found in verse 7. The object of the service is to please Christ. I want to honor Him. The spirit of service is important, but there's also the object, the person. In other words, you might say it this way, as Colossians says, in whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. My service and your service is to want to please Christ. That's what it should be. That is the goal. Paul writes to the military soldier who was fighting in the first century. He wrote these words, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. In other words, I want my life to so count that it might please my Savior. My service should please the Savior. You know, I'll be honest with you. Can I just put it on the table for you? I'm not up here preaching to make you happy. I'm up here preaching to please the Lord. I'm not trying to make you feel good. I'm just trying to tell you what God says He wants me to tell you. You know, I know there's some place where you can feel good, but I pray that we'll just get right with God and get close to God. That's all I pray for. And I don't want to make you feel bad necessarily, but I want the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and show us what we need to take care of in our life. You see, we want to please Him. I want my service to please Him. I think that when you look at it in the whole picture, it's all about Christ. So there's a heart of devotion. But then there's a third heart. God tells us that if we're going to have a heart for God, a heart for service, He describes it for us. He lays it out for us that we no doubt about it, that we need to learn that there's a future coming. There needs to be a heart of vision. We are not living for now. We're living for eternity. Someone came to our church one day and said to me, you know, you guys, I don't know why you do that. You always sing about dying and heaven down there. I said, what do you mean? Well, you know, you always sing about, you know, those kind of things. All of your hymns wrap around dying and going to heaven. What about now? And I said, now is a preparation for those things. You see, the vision is for the future. We all know that life's going to be over one day. In fact, it's kind of funny, but man, life is moving so rapidly. I can't believe how fast it's going. I'm almost like, I got to put the brakes on. Wait a minute, slow this thing down. We're going rapidly into eternity. It moves very quickly. The question I want to ask you is this: do you have a vision for the future? Are you going to keep going the way you're going? Where are you going to go when you die? What about a vision for the future? What about eternity? What is waiting on the other side? Well, there's a vision he mentions here. And I want you to maybe write down a couple thoughts. And number one, consider this. There's a vision for doing right. Verse number 8, Paul writes about that. He says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive. There's a vision for doing right. Dr. Bob Senior used to use this, and I quote this often because it says everything. He says, do right till the stars fall. The stars hasn't fallen yet. Let's just keep doing right. You know, we do right not... Listen to this. We do right because it's right to do right. Sometimes people get the idea, you know, I do right, and I've had people tell me this. You know, I tried the Christian life. I tried doing right. It didn't work. My answer to that is, what do you mean didn't work? We do right even when it appears to not work. Ask Joseph. He did right. You know, Joseph did right, and he went to jail for doing right. Joseph did right, and he got sold into slavery. Then he got put in jail. And all of those things, but guess what? He did right no matter what. The Bible said the Lord was with him. I don't know about you, but I would rather do right and go through terrible trials and tragedies and difficulties knowing God's with me than not having anything going on in my life and God not be there. Joseph did right and God honored him. Moses did right and God took him out into the wilderness. And he wandered for 40 years. But he did right. Wasn't easy. Others in the Bible did right, such as those three Hebrew men that were put in the fiery furnace. They did right. And God honored them because, you see, they knew that doing right was the right thing to do. Always, it's always, listen to me, it's always, always, always right to do right. You might want to write this one down. Here's another thought. It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. Let me explain. Our church, we want to get the parking lot built over there. You guys are probably kind of like, you know, looking and saying, when are we going to get this parking lot done? I'd like to get it done real soon. Now, I have a solution for you. How about let's just go get a bunch of guns. We'll go down and rob one of these banks. Okay, we could get a whole bunch of money that way, couldn't we? Rob a bank, come back. We give it to the contractor, say, go ahead and build it now. You say, why, we would never do that. Exactly right, we wouldn't. But the thought is this. We're going to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right, because it's right to build a parking lot. Here's what I'm saying. Do not do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. It's never right to do it that way. It's never right for a church to compromise in order to get a chance to do right. It's always right to do right no matter what. And God is showing us, if you have a heart for vision, you're going to want to have a heart for doing right. Maybe the reason why we struggle is because we don't have a heart for doing right, because we've never had a heart for vision in serving God. And when we're busy serving the Lord, it will help us to keep our heart right. And then, let me give you one more thought. Knowing we have a vision for doing right, we have a vision, God says, in doing right is a vision for ending right. Godly servants want to finish right. We want to finish the course. Paul wrote it like this when he said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You see, a godly servant will want to finish right. It's not, the key is not so much just starting, and though that's important, but it's also finishing right. I want to finish the course God has given to us. I love Fanny Crosby's songs. She wrote many thousands. Here's what she said. When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile shall be the first to welcome me. I shall know him. I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. The blind songwriter continues and says, oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I see his blessed face, and the luster of his kindly beaming eye, how my full heart will praise him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepare me for a mansion in the sky. She ended that song with, I believe, the heart of every godly servant. I just want to have a vision for my future. I don't want anyone to have to die and go to heaven. And though by God's grace we are saved by faith in Christ alone, we get to heaven and say, oh, I'm ashamed at what I did not do for Jesus Christ. I'm ashamed that I never read my Bible, that I never prayed, that I never passed out a gospel tract, that I never gave anything to help the church that I attended, or I never did anything in my community to point people to Christ. I never really served as I should honorably. I cheated my boss. I can't honestly say that. I don't want you to, because one day we're going to stand before him. And the Bible said God's going to give a reward. And that reward is not wrapped around the fact of, we're not getting rewarded to go to heaven. That's already taken care of by Jesus Christ. Man doesn't go to heaven because he's a good person. He goes to heaven because he put his faith in Jesus Christ. But the truth of the matter is, when we stand before him one day, God's going to hand out the rewards. He mentions rewards in Scripture. We don't know what they all are, but we know that God says that there's a future. A godly servant has a vision for the future. How about you? What's your heart toward God? Maybe you're tempted to quit. Maybe you're said, it's been tough. I mean, I've been through a lot, and I've been through a lot of hard times, and I've been disappointed, and my church has disappointed me, or this pastor's disappointed me, or this professor disappointed me. Take your eyes and turn them upon Jesus. He has never disappointed any of us. He's always been there for us. Four things. What does this mean to me? Four things. Number one, I want to ask you, what am I to do? First question I want to ask you is this: is my heart right with God? Is your heart right with God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you 100% sure that when you die, you're going to heaven? If not, you can know that before you leave here today. This is not by joining Calvary Baptist Church. This church can't do anything for you. We can't save you. We can't get you saved. We can help you, but we can't get you saved. Only Jesus Christ can save you. It's not by baptism. It's not by membership. It's through Jesus Christ and him alone. And then if you're a Christian, what about you? Is your heart right with God? Number two, what are my motives for serving the Lord? What are my motives? Why do I do what I do? Why do I come to church? And why do I sing in the choir? Why do I teach that class? Or why do I work on the bus ministry? Or why do I help in the nursery? What are my motives? God says, search our hearts. Number three, is there anything in my life I need to make right? Maybe an attitude. Maybe a bitterness that's in my heart because of something has happened in my past that I'm greatly disappointed with. What about making that right today? Would you make that right? I want to urge you to make that right. And then number four, the last question I want to ask to the believer is, why am I not serving the Lord? Why are we not doing anything for Him? I mean, why are we just kind of here but not doing anything? I'm talking about here on the planet. See, I believe this. I believe when we go to work, we got to serve the Lord. I believe when we go to community, we go out in our community, we got to serve the Lord. When we are in our home, we got to serve the Lord. Everything we do is to please Him. Paul said that's the heart of a godly servant. That's how we can do it. May God help us today to have a godly heart of service. Let's pray.